Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have now come to the priest's communion. This is the priest's business. He has offered, immolated, the sacrifice of the body and blood of our Lord, and now he must not leave the temple until it be consumed by Holy Communion. This is his final great business at the altar, the third principal part of the Mass. It is his business, but not in the sense that it's not yours as well. Far from that. For from this sacrifice, source of all sanctity, flows the strength of soul you need individually and as members of a family, one way and another, as well as members of the church family, to show yourselves. Well, St. Paul tells us this in that epistle to the Romans you'll have during the week if you make it to Mass that day. Brethren, I beseech you, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing unto God, your reasonable service. Where does this happen? If not, where God put you? I mean, your marriage, your family, your state of life, vocation. These graces flow from Calvary. But without the priest, the Kyrie of ours says this, the passion and the death of our Lord would do you no good, because it is the priest who's the go-between to continue the work of the redemption. Holy orders is a sacrament, he taught once, the curé did in his daily catechism classes. Holy orders is a sacrament which seems at first glance to have nothing to do with any of you, because it's about making or ordaining priests. But it concerns all of us, for the priest makes me to be that living sacrifice St. Paul tells the Romans about, holy, pleasing to God. And that's the point of my life and the sacraments which Father distributes. That's my baptism, the witness of your marriage, and the blessing for the bride. It is the priest. It is the priest who puts Jesus on my tongue and into the tabernacle, who hears in secret my sins and quietly absolves them. The priest who preaches and counsels and supports me by his own daily prayer 7 times a day and the offering of the sacrifice, if anybody is here or not. And unto the end, I mean the day of your consummation, with the last rites, the extreme unction, the priest, in a sense, gives me eternity, saves me from hell. No wonder good families who strive to be after the example of the Holy Family willingly give a son to the altar if this is asked of them, so that he might stay in the temple. But God, in his great goodness, does not stop there. He stoops into the most unlikely places to find his priests today, such as the call of grace. I mean, I've seen it in pagan households, families who are nominally Catholic but entirely worldly, even heretical families, non-Catholics or the Novus Ordo variety. There too are priests yielded up for the temple. This is God's business. Don't think that your state of life is your choice. It's not. God calls you to do something definite for him. in your life. And those who are chosen to the altar, they must be about that. But chiefly it is the Mass. The victim the priest immolates, slays at the double consecration, separating bread from body, bread rather from wine, body from blood, as you know well now. But the victim remains and must be consumed at Holy Communion. The priest's communion is the completion of the sacrifice and yours as well. After saying those three prayers of preparation we've studied, the celebrant, as always, puts his hands on the corporal and genuflex and stands up again, and with the forefinger of his left hand, he reverently moves the two parts of the now broken host to the edge of the paten and puts them together again to form an unbroken circle. And then holds them between the index finger and the thumb of that same left hand and the paten with the three free fingers. Thus, he bows and says, I will take the bread of heaven. I will call upon the name of the Lord. It's the month of the holy name. To call upon the name of the Lord means inviting him to come to us, to be our strength and our light and our life. And then still holding the paten and the host that way, a little bit above the altar, the priest bows and three times repeats the words you know well, the Domine non sum dignus. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Say but the word, and my soul shall be healed. Every time the server rings the bell, because it concerns you. The sacrifice is about to be completed, and the priest, by means of a last-minute prayer, chooses the prayer of the soldier, the centurion. It is a manly, matter-of-fact, full-of-faith kind of prayer, short and to the point. And then the priest stands up again and places the left part of the host over the right, makes the sign of the cross over the paten. May the body of our Lord Jesus Christ keep my soul unto life everlasting. Amen. He bows and receives the sacred host. Our Lord has entered into his heart, the heart of his counterpart. He just pauses for a moment. He doesn't say any vocal prayers. He just has his fingers like this in front of his face and closes his eyes. But just for a moment, as he swallows the sacred host, he doesn't chew the host, but he moves it around in his mouth so that he may the more easily receive his communion. And then he must be about again, the needs of the people, and so he goes to the reception of the precious blood. He uncovers the chalice in genuflex, and with his right thumb and forefinger, he wipes any of the little particles of the host that may be on the paten and puts them into the chalice, and with the same paten, he lightly scrapes a little bit the corporal, the cloth on the altar, in case there should be any particles which have fallen there, and then puts them into the chalice. As he does that, he says the words, what shall I render to the Lord for all he has rendered unto me? You know, the Greeks in the Eastern Rite, they call those little particles of the host pearls, because there's nothing more precious. If you can see them, that's our Lord. That's why the altar boy holds a paten under your chin. And you don't need to say anything else, anything more, to anybody about the Novus Ordo. It does not come from the Catholic Church, and it is a false sacrilegious act of worship. How do they go to communion? You don't need to say anything else as it falls on the floor. But at the same time, this is your opportunity to gather up your fragments. Think of that when Father's doing it. I mean, your little sacrifices. The little flower, St. Therese, said, my Jesus, I don't want to deny you anything on this day, the day that she receives communion. We should be the same way. Then the priest takes the chalice and continues praying from the 115th Psalm, "I will take the chalice of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Praising, I will call upon the Lord, and I shall be saved from my enemies." King David, when he wrote these words of the psalm, didn't see a cup of wine. He saw in prophetical vision the chalice, the excellent chalice of salvation, filled with the blood that pours forth from the open side of the Savior. Do you notice, as you follow the Mass in your Missal, these little quotations from the Scriptures, choice snippets of the Bible, especially from the Psalms? The Psalms, because the Church wants to tell us that's really the best kind of prayer. The Psalms are the source and the model of our prayer, and the Church enshrines them throughout the Missal like priceless diamonds. If only Protestants knew how biblical is the Mass. Father Cicada, recovering in his recliner the other day, I think I was fixing lunch. Well, I heard him laughing, and I thought, what's this about? So I go in to investigate, and someone sent him a tweet, a retweet, something like that, and it's about a Protestant minister who must be well known for on television or maybe on the internet. This Protestant minister, it's a snippet of a sermon, has just told the people, do you know that for 1,500 years, Christians believed communion was the body and the blood of Christ? And then respectfully, he says, I did not know that. Imagine, say a prayer for him to find out the rest. As the priest makes the sign of the cross over himself with the chalice, he's reminding himself again, I am sharing in the sacrifice of Calvary. He says, may the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ keep my soul unto life everlasting. Amen. And then he drains the chalice and consumes with it that little piece of the host that he put in when he wished you the peace of our Lord, when he broke the host a bit earlier. And all of this part of the Mass represents the resurrection of our Lord. Remember how when our Lord appeared almost always on Easter Sunday and during those 40 days, when he appeared to the disciples, he always gave them something to eat, and sometimes he actually offered the Mass and consecrated, because Good Friday's sacrifice is followed by Easter's Holy Communion. The body of the risen Jesus, the priest receives with the sign of the cross because he knows that he is to eat the flesh of a crucified God. And then the sacrifice is complete. The victim has been consumed, completely offered. The communion of the priest is so essential to the Mass that if for some reason he should be unable to continue Mass after the consecration, another priest, even if he's not fasting already, another priest must consume the sacred host and the precious blood to complete the sacrifice. And I used to tell people in the missions years ago, when there weren't too many priests to go around, should God forbid that ever happen to a priest and you're assisting at the Mass, it would be your duty to keep guard over the Blessed Sacrament until such time as a priest could be procured to come and complete the sacrifice. The priest's communion then is not only a benefit to himself, just for his own spiritual good, it is the perfection of the supreme act of worship, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But this is not just the priest's business. It is yours as well. It is your sacrifice, your life faithful to your vocation and state of life, fed by this Holy Communion. For most of you, your state of life is indeed marriage and the family. But one day, when comes your last, your sacrifice will have to be consummated and consumed. Pray God that a priest will have been with you to prepare you at the last because this is his business. I must be about my Father's business. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.